Now back to Cofield and Company, live from the Mountain West Conference Media Day on ESPN Las Vegas and ESPN Reno.
Nice meeting you, Scott. Cofield and Company, of course, Vegas is here. Circa, Las Vegas. We're going to bring in... I got to be careful this hour. This could get real ugly. These guys aren't face-to-face very often. I saw them, I think, around each other, but they were in different sections of T-Mobile for Team USA. I want to get into Team USA a bunch. We are going to talk to Spencer Danielson, the head coach of Boise, at the end of the hour. Again, we're here at Circa, and it's Mountain West Conference Media Day. Arash is in. You look good, my friend. What's going on? The hair's on point. On fleek.
Oh, I like that.
It's good.
Listen,
it's
good to good
is this
to
2019.
I know, dude. You're like didn't I say someone looked like Dandy earlier?
Yeah,
and I even admitted like
Utah State coach.
I'm gonna throw you like a 1957 term, coach.
Yeah,
I only did it because he's like 33.
You look swell.
I appreciate it. I'm happy. I'm aggressive right now.
Yeah.
We don't have to get into it this hour, but. Football's back, media days, the football shows,
yeah.
Hard Knocks gets me all worked up. I'm bouncing off the wall. And yet, you're a savvy veteran, Arash, and I got to loop you in on hour number one. We were just talking about Shador and Dion.
Yes.
And I love what they do. I get mad. I yell. I make predictions. I make bets. But I also realize that I might be just part of a whole grand work. So how do we handle this? Like, do you ignore stuff where you're like, that is obviously a work, but on the flip side, it's like, that's great for us. That'll help me, too.
No,
thank you, Dion.
No, it's great for the program. I mean, I thought
Isn't
it was
it?
Hilarious where people got mad at Shador for saying that we're these teams' Super Bowl.
I said that.
The
I
fact
got,
of the matter is,
early.
At the beginning of the season, they were. Now, yeah. I don't know if that was still the case at the end. It probably was. Why? Because it's Coach Prime. It's, you know, that is a big deal. So I'm not saying that Colorado's the best team in the country. But you don't tell me that when they went up to Eugene, how fired up that team was. That was their Super Bowl. And so I love what Coach Prime has brought to college football. I don't think he's long for college football. I think, he may be doing something else at some point. But every move he made during Big 12 Media Day, like, people were following him. I mean, it was the Colorado Media Day. It wasn't just Big 12 Media Day.
Were you mad when you said that earlier?
No,
you joked about it. It was Colorado Media Day, right? Were you sticking up for the rest of the Big 12 or half the league that maybe they got no attention?
There's other schools.
See, there we go.
I didn't even know there was. I thought it was like one of those things like the Pac-12 where there's just two teams. There's one team, Colorado.
Now, is he busting chops or is he really mad?
When is,
I think
when
our media people would be
Big
like
Big 12 Media Day?
it's all done, Adam. Sorry.
Okay. Just making sure. I didn't know if anybody else speak?
They did, but it did not make the same headlines as not only Coach Pry, but our very own Willie G. Ramirez. How, like, that question was great, but, like, the close-up on that red suit was fantastic. It was
got
awesome.
All the attention. How long was the question, by the way? Adam was busting chops on it. We talked to Willie about the questions.
Well, it wasn't even the question that was that long. It was just that 42 seconds in, he said, and part two, and Dion's like, no.
The great thing about social media is most people only watch clips for 10 seconds. And if you look at the SportsCenter clip, the first 10 seconds is Willie's question.
I can't believe I left the question on.
I was so happy for him.
That is great. Okay. Now, real life on Dion, if this report's accurate, and it was up on Sports Business Journal, they're reporting that when the Big 12 invited the Pac-12 schools, Colorado got bonused an extra $2.5 million.
Oh.
So, like, we talk about this being a work and, like, hey, we're enjoying it.
By the way.
They paid more money to them. Utah's like,
100.
We're the best program already. $2.5 bonus.
Okay.
Is that why the Big 12 didn't have money to spend to organize their media day better?
Hey, listen, they had free Totino's, the pizza rolls. So
their sponsor.
Exactly.
Oh,
wait,
did?
Hold on. Do you realize what were the top five or top ten most watched college football games a year ago? And so when we talk about why is Caitlin Clark so important, if you bring eyeballs, if you bring people, when they played UCLA a year ago, I think the Rose Bowl was sold out or as close as it's been to sold out in a long time. perhaps they're not as hot this season because, again, we went through that. But when they made that deal, they were the hottest program in college football.
So you might argue that that was $2.5 million for TV eyes. And actually, Colorado got ripped off.
Yeah, should have got more. $2.5 million? That's nothing. These numbers that they were doing, $10 million for a regular season game? You kidding me, bro?
It is just this year, though.
Well, so that, I guess that's the question.
You have to take Colorado going forward, whatever nonsense they're left with.
I still think Coach Prime and that whole thing is going to mean something. And this season in particular with his sons, they will draw. Certainly at the beginning of the season. Now, you get towards the end of the season, then they've lost six straight. You know, maybe not, but listen, when he talks, it's news. When his sons play, it's news. Like, that is a bargain.
You're right. You changed my thinking on it. You're right. Now, if Utah came to him and they're like, whoa, what the hell's going on? Or Arizona State, you'd just be like, you're nothing.
Utah does not move the needle.
Utah's going to have to settle for trophies.
Yeah.
That sucks.
What did the coach of Oregon say? They play for clicks. We play for wins. Clicks matter. Clicks matter.
Believe me, they matter to Dan Lanning, too.
Don't
believe that he didn't set that speech up. Like, make sure. Here's the camera angle. Camera three, I'm here.
He had a cue card in the corner.
He's got lights
all
over.
They're playing for clicks. We're playing for wins.
It's a good line.
No good. Shoot it again. Let's roll it back. Okay, I delayed the big four. Let's get to it. Big four time.
Battleborn Injury Lawyers presents the Big Four at Four. Number four.
Okay, some things to be on the show, be part of the company. You have to like talking about food. Ding. Arash is in. You have to like gambling.
Yeah.
You're in. I think you have to like pets. You know, in all the times I've talked to you,
yeah.
I don't know if you're a pet guy.
There's no way.
So I am.
He's never been at home 2 days in a row.
So that's
in his
a good
life.
Point. So yes, the 90% of the things I send my fiance are cat memes and cat reels and things like that.
That counts.
But we do not have a cat, but it's all cat related because she likes cats.
Weirdest segue I'm ever going to make on the show. News the other day in your paper. Did you see this?
Sure I did.
Las Vegas, dog and cat owners will be required to microchip their pets starting in August. And the first thing I thought of is we are a crazed society when it comes to pets. There better not be pet owners who are like,
which they're for sure.
Extra expenses. Like, microchip your animal, please.
And I will say,
it's very important.
I will say, as somebody who had their pet found, it's important.
Can you, like, cliff note version of whatever journey.
Someone else had my dog.
Well, your dog jumped out a window.
Jumped out a window
of a moving car and
trying
disappeared.
Trying to find home.
Disappeared.
Disappeared.
And, oh, that's right. Someone else had your dog and jumped out of their car.
Yeah, and I was not in town at the time, and I was thinking about flying home.
You were in New Mexico?
No. I was literally at LAX waiting to go to Cabo.
And he was going to cut off his trip.
And I was going to knock it on the plane. And it was around 6:30 in the morning. And got a call from somebody at the shelter. Somebody had turned in the dog. Microchip worked. So I will say, please do it. If you care. If you don't care if your pet gets away, then don't do it, I guess. Because they're going to bring it back to you. When it gets found, they will bring it back to you. So if you want to get rid of it, probably don't do it. And the people that don't want to microchip them are probably the ones that are with their dog stranded in the desert somewhere.
Angry rant. Number three, no conflict Thursday. You're already violating the rules.
Number three.
When did it become no conflict Thursday?
I just apply it whenever you get too worked up. I don't want to start yelling and screaming. We've already done enough. All right. I'm going to give you guys credit for it. I don't think you broke it, but because I haven't been out of this building in a couple of days and I haven't really been able to check the web much, Carp comes up to me, and no, actually, I think I was just eavesdropping on Carp, or he just talked so loud. Carp was like, you want to do the impression?
No.
Oh, boy.
Like, whatever. Like, oh, the Rio, or I can't do his voice. Is the Rio site back in play for the NBA and maybe the A's?
Yeah, the Rio site is back in play. I think, and again, it's curious how these conversations happen, because normally when it gets to the league level, the league will generally say, We don't like that site. And we dealt with this for 21 years with the National Football League. They love the Hollywood Park site. And so despite the fact that they thought of downtown and Carson and all these places, they wanted it to be more centrally located. So again, like they would love for something to be in the heart of the Strip. But outside of that, the Rio, cheap land, right off the Strip, you know, next to the hotel that I'm sure will be maybe refurbished, next to the Palms. I still obviously selfishly like the north end of the Strip by the Fountain Blue.
Well, I mean, I think the real breaking news part of this is that the NBA could be interested in the Rio site instead of the NBA, instead whoever it is, instead of the site down by Adam.
Yes.
Sort of. Which is supposed to be this mega project with the train station at LV Boulevard and the Outlet Mall.
Yeah, it's just a little bit too far for there. When I say the league, I mean, the league will be working hand in hand with, you know, I mean, and again, we could get that announcement. I don't think we'll get it next week, but, you know, they said the timeline was once deal is done and the media deal will be done, then we focus on expansion, which will be Las Vegas and Seattle. They do prefer a strip adjacent next to the Strip. You know, when you pan the arena, there's some casinos in the background.
Makes sense.
The league's like that.
Sorry, Adam, your spot is way too, and you want to go past the South Point.
I do. Yeah, I want to be in my yard. I volunteer my backyard.
You know, it's not a coincidence when you look at where Allegiant is and where T-Mobile is and where
the proposed arena is less than a mile and a half, I think, from
it's
Allegiant.
Too far.
It's not the Strip.
It's too far.
It's not too far.
It's not far the Strip.
It's easier strip. To get from
so angry.
Keep
no context.
Even though I started no the yelling. I started the yelling.
It's easier to get from, say, New York, to the proposed arena site than it is to get from New York to Fountain Blue.
What's closer on camera?
Do you not understand
the difference? He just said it.
Like, they want the shot of the arena with the casinos and the lights.
Show T-Mobile behind it. Just do overhead views of that. T-Mobile, the ones that T-Mobile do when you're watching like a hockey game, it's from like 2016.
That is true. They should have.
So who cares? Yeah. Just go over this. When games were at Sam Boyd Stadium, Las Vegas Bowl, Sam Boyd Stadium, in Las Vegas, panning over the Strip.
Well, that's
all you need to do.
Yeah.
I like the Rio site. Oh, it would rehab that whole property, the casino part of the property. They've got so much land. And I know this sounds really stupid, but I live on the sort of the west side. And even not having to cross the Strip in any way, I'm like, I could get there more easily. I'm very selfish.
I could get to the proposed arena site in like 4 minutes.
I know you can.
I would love it.
But you live way away from the Strip.
It takes me 8 minutes to get to the Strip. 8 minutes.
Now, for the people on the east side, I know the Rio is way out of the way. Because you got to cross Las Vegas Boulevard.
You know what I want? As soon as we've endured, in the end, what is it, 7 years of redoing I-15? Yeah. As soon as it's done, I would love to restart construction right there. Right. And they're like, you know what? I-15 not really ready for an arena right there. We're going to redo that again. We're going to restart doing it as soon as it's done so they can have another off-ramp at Flamingo.
Like, you act like you're
tremendous.
Doing some sort of crazy rant. You know that's happening.
Of course it is. I know it is.
You're the best. When we get you going on traffic.
Oh, man.
364-1100. Let's give away a couple tickets to the Front Row Card Show, July 13th and 14th at the Rio. FrontRowCardShow.com is the website. Get your tickets, 364-1100. Caller 7, caller 7, caller 7.
It's Cofield and Company on ESPN Las Vegas and ESPN Reno.
Every once in a while, people ask us, I mean, people talk to us about the show all the time. They'll ask us, hey, do you like doing shows on the road? Yes, because stuff happens. And I just spent the last 5 minutes getting annihilated. Did I rob a guy here without even knowing I was doing it?
Of his prized possession? Yeah, I think you did. I think the evidence is pretty clear. I mean, should we describe him?
Yes.
I mean, there's a guy that has been kind of pitching an organization. He actually, I'll say this, has really, really good information that I absolutely want. And if you join the organization, you get a book that is very, very valuable to
well,
us.
Well, this is available to the media.
Sure.
The website, though, to get the upfront information is called collegepressbox.com. I actually use it. I do think it has value. Scott came over and introduced himself. We have short breaks at times, and he sat here through multiple parts of the show. I'm sure he hated the 345 area of the show. And he puts down a book.
In fact, I can tell he did because he rolled his eyes a couple times.
Oh, I know. I knew as soon as he sat down. I was like, come on. He puts down a book, and basically it's an information guide in college football with, like, media contacts, SID, Sports Information Director contacts. He's like, hey, it's $50 a year to join our organization. You get all this information in the book. You get collegepressbox.com.
Yeah. And you
– He's like, look at this book, right? And during our conversation with Xavier Pope, I was, you know, talking to Xavier. I was totally focused. But I was looking at the book, and I'm like, wow, this really is good. So then he made the pitch.
He waited through the entire segment.
I pulled the book over to me. He's gone now, and then you launch into me
during
the break.
No, not yet.
Okay.
He waited through the entire segment. You're like, man, this book is incredible. Very good. Thanks, man. And then he said, yeah, and he's kind of looking at the book still, and he's like, yeah, so just if you join the organization, obviously this information is, you know, is part of it. This we get if you join
The book is free.
He's like, here, you just scan on this QR code. It'll take you to the site, and then you'll be able to get the book. And you're like, really helpful. Thanks. And then he's like, okay. And he's kind of sitting there just hanging over. And then we go back on the air for the 4 o'clock hour. And Arash sits down where Scott was sitting, so we kind of push Scott away. Like, Arash sits down. And then
I saw you eyeing him. You're like, get out of my seat, dude. I'm booked.
He kind of lingers for like a minute and a half. I'm like, I almost reached over and just handed him
you
the book.
You should have. Why didn't you do that?
But you're like, that's mine now.
So I stole the guy's book.
You stole his book.
I didn't know that.
I think it's probably, I mean, he seemed pretty attached to it. He might have been crying.
We'll hunt him down. He lives in, looks like he lives in Plano, Texas. So I'll be in Texas. He can drive down to Houston.
Well, if you sign up for his organization, I think
I get another book.
I think he'll remember.
And he can get his master.
He'll
back.
Remember that you stole his. It's got all of his business.
Arash
cards.
Arash is saying I didn't do it.
Let's see.
Right? I didn't do it.
This is clearly the copy. Look what's everything that's attached to the cover.
Yeah.
It's clearly the copy he uses to pitch his organization. He's got all this stuff attached to it.
Hold. I already mentioned the website twice. Collegepressbox.com. Hold the book up to the camera for the videos.
See all of his information that's attached to it that he's using to pitch
so
everyone?
Now I'm beginning to think if he stapled this, that this is for you.
Yeah.
No.
Oh, you think so?
No, it's for him to show people, like, remember, that's my name. Here's the QR code. You stole his book.
Live reads and mention on the show, it's so popular, are $500 a mention. Yeah. He's already gotten, like, $2,000 worth of promotion.
Yeah, this makes up for it.
I might have inflated that a little bit. That's a sales technique.
You should have probably also... Along with that, giving him a tissue to dry the tears from losing his book.
I mean,
he definitely was sad.
There's a go-between. Someone introduced me to him, who is a local, so I could go back to Kenny.
There's no reason for him to be here still. He was pitching his book to everybody. He doesn't have a book anymore.
You
stole it. So he just left because he's like, well, I'm not going to do any more interviews. I don't have a book to pitch.
He did not want to stick around for one more segment. That was.
Oh, no.
It pained him to lose the book, but it would have been more painful for him to hear us.
Well, that has to be like an after-hours thing we'll talk about. All right. So Arash is here, Arash Markazi, of course, from SportingTribune.com, $100. CEO. Now, you guys do a great job.
It was $500.
And, well, for him.
Hey, he does family and friends.
No, you do the spot every week. How much can we charge you? I got to get kind of the feel of Team USA game last night. First of all, the place was jammed. Adam, I think you were just following up on Aces attendance.
I don't know.
So what was it like?
Now, listen, it was great. It was great to see LeBron and Steph as teammates on Team USA for the first time. They had their viral moment where Steph did a pose and LeBron and Steph connected on a lob dunk. So it was just a really fun moment. And then President Barack Obama was there. Amazing to see that as well. Knew he spoke to the team the night before. Didn't think he'd be courtside. That was awesome. It was interesting because of I'm assuming FIBA rules. I don't know, a mixed zone post game. That's not something that we normally see in pro sports in the U.S.
World Cup, exactly, right?
So I had a blast. I mean, listen, I had no expectations for the quality of the game, but it was fine. Yeah. By the way, so much was made about the scrimmage. Like, again, we get to watch the last 20 to 30 minutes of it. They're like, Cooper Flagg. I'm sure Cooper Flagg's going to be amazing. But, like, the second coming, and there was a one-point scrimmage. I'm like, it was a scrimmage. I don't, like, what are we doing here? What are we talking
about? You're supposed to play the game.
I know.
You're the king of videos. Yeah. You should have the video out.
I'm competing with Ben Golivers, who's supposed to be writing for, like, the Washington Post, and he's doing more social posts than me, so I got to go ahead. So I'm looking at him with his phone, and I got to bring up my phone.
You push him out of the
way. It's a fun conversation.
I saw you both had videos, but his went really viral. So now you're bitter.
Now
you're like, Cooper Flagg, Cooper Flagg.
Like, God, I'm going to be like, we have the same video. Why did his go viral?
By the way, Arash.
Yes.
You did it again.
Uh-oh.
Last week. Come on, bro.
What did I do last
week? What have these people done to you? And yet the video
the video you sent
out is a glorious video about the Las Vegas Strip.
The number of people.
That is insane.
Listen,
what they're doing.
The number of people who took the Fountain Blue site here, which is fine. But like that's a, you know, that's a 2-ounce pour. Like, that's what you should have got. I mean, like, the number of people who defended this property is ridiculous. There's nothing normal about that size of ice, that block of ice, that Titanic-sized glacier was in my cup.
I'll say this.
Yes.
The drink-making community at that level is crazy.
Yeah.
Oh,
like, the attention to detail, and I really appreciate it.
I had to mute the conversation. I was like, please, okay?
I'll give them a free pop here because, like I said, our stuff is worth so much. There is a place in the Arts District. Have you been there?
Where?
To Jammyland?
No.
So it's a little pushback from Main Street, and they make those sorts of drinks,
okay.
And they have all the different kinds of ice, but it's not $21.
Well,
that's
the
difference. So
more
we've
of a,
by the way
liquid
we've
diet.
Also got I don't should I do this because I watch this stuff too because like you I'm like what is that block of ice where it's filling up this whole tall glass. There's also a place in town. We've got how many tiki bars we have now, like 7?
Yeah,
there is one where they've increased the amount of ice, but it's like little chips of ice, and they're like, I mean, that's the way the drink is made. Like, basically, like, you're a moron and you don't know how to drink if you don't want all, like, the whole thing filled with ice. Like, it melts a certain way into the drink with the ice. Okay.
I felt bad to once again knock the Fountain Blue because I do think that over the last 6 months they have improved.
Yeah, yes, you said
they
that.
They are catering towards locals. They are doing tier matching. They are doing this thing for, and I don't even know if it's just for locals, but basically, like, stay there for like $150 a night and then get like $150 in resort credit. So basically you're staying there for free. So listen, they have improved. I just noticed I got a drink and I got a literal block of ice.
And that legitimately was Arash's drink.
That was my drink.
Good for you, man.
Yeah.
Good for you.
So fancy.
I mean, the goal is to tell stories, and sometimes video is the best way to do it, just like you did with the steakhouse, you know, during F1. That was pretty jarring. Like, hey, this place is basically closed down when it's packed all the time. What is F1 really doing for Vegas?
I went to Ferraro's, and they're still, like, that's, like, everywhere. You know, stop F1. They're costing us all this money.
Wait, what do you mean it's everywhere?
Like, you walk in a Ferraro's, and there's, like, literally, when you walk in, there's a sign.
Wait, you mean
there's signs inside? Really?
Oh,
Ferraro's,
yeah.
Ferraro's or Batista's?
Ferraro's, the Italian place across the street from what used to be Hard
Virgin?
Rock.
Okay.
Virgin,
yeah. I mean, I know Batista's.
Oh, I didn't know they were doing
Batista's
it.
Like,
let me,
really impact.
As I'm talking to you guys, let me be, but I,
you gotta
listen,
send that
I mean,
out.
Like you know, they have a whole QR code that you can
really?
Basically.
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Adam, this is your thing.
By the way, another place that's great for locals like myself is Ferraro's. It is. They got like half off wine, which I love.
He knows all the secrets.
Locals like myself.
I saw he snuck that in there. Mr. Vegas.
Mr. Vegas.
How's LA? How's LA? Your home
LA is
never
great.
There.
LA is great.
He's barely there now.
Listen, I like to visit my friends and family in LA, but it's good to be back home in Las Vegas.
Mr. Vegas.
By the way, I did say goodbye to the Mirage. I did. It is a listen. We're here at Circa, world's largest sports book. I just always loved that sports book at the Mirage with the CPK and the big screen TVs and the couches and the sports bar and the Starbucks. It was it was great.
I thought it held up. Maybe I'm a clown. I thought it held up really well over the years. Not all places do.
But it's not shaped like a guitar, so they got to fix it.
You know,
I'm going to say goodbye on the final day instead of, you know, early, like people that are from L.A.
I mean,
that are coming on the weekend.
Wait, that's
goodbye.
Such a, like, tourist thing. Like, you got to go on the 17th. Like, I'm just going to say goodbye.
Night of the 16th, I'll go.
Did you go last day of the trop?
I did. I stopped by.
You did?
Yeah.
All right.
I did say, so I did that, but I didn't do it on the last day. But I did like the idea of being, like, the last person to check out of the hotel. But it's so expensive to be like that, to stay there on that particular night.
I would like to go to a place, go to like a place on the final day and just not leave.
And then, yeah.
Like hide out in the bathroom.
All right, so I'll tweet this out, but I'll show you guys if you wanna you know take a look. It said that the Def One is a disaster for Las Vegas. 2 exclamation points. That means you mean business, not one but two. It cost Ferraro $3 million in revenue. 2 exclamation points, and then a QR code. If you agree, please sign the petition.
I said petition five times. I was joking about it.
Isn't Ferraro's outside of the track?
It's close enough that they were affected by it.
Yeah, it's on the other side. It's right, isn't it? Right down. Well, it's not right down from the paddock. It's down the harm. It's down Harmon Block.
Down Harmon. So just people can't get from the strip.
Whole area is locked down. I still think it's good for Vegas, but I also understand if I owned a business in that area, I'd be pretty pissed off.
Yeah, for sure.
It's quite the challenge. All right, Arash is sticking around for a couple more minutes. A little more on Team USA. So we're live here at Circa. Okay, update. The book that you guys think I stole, I did text the guy. So we'll see what he says now.
He's not going to say that you stole it. He'll be like, oh, no, enjoy it.
Okay. Then I'm good, right, Arash?
I think so.
If he says enjoy it.
I think he wants you to join, and it does sound like you will join. And, by the way, you plugged this thing a couple of times.
I did it.
So.
Yeah, collegepressbox.com. Yeah. He gave me a gigantic college football guide. It's great.
But I think you're okay.
Adam Hill, when you're – by the way – I love having you on the show because that story about the F1 thing is tremendous. But when you two are together, he goes like over the top, stir the pot.
By the way, he did it last night.
I know he did.
Like, who cares about attendance? And you know exactly what he was doing with this tweet about like the largest attended basketball game at T-Mobile. And it's like, you know what you're doing.
Well, first of all.
Who cares? What you're doing.
The tweet reads, 20,756 official attendance for Team USA versus Canada tonight. Most ever for a basketball game at T-Mobile Arena.
He knew exactly.
That surpasses the 2389 that were here for Gonzaga and Duke.
Yeah,
because he didn't.
What's wrong with that?
Facts, Arash.
I avoided
no agenda behind
it. I did avoid putting the breaking tag on it, which I almost did because it was information that I had found out because it wasn't published, and I went and tracked it down and found out the information. And then
why? Can you just tell the story? Make Arash tell the story now.
What do you mean?
Oh, why? He's like Babe in the Woods. We know what you did.
What are you talking about?
Okay.
It's a factual statement about
Aces. Aces Fever get a big number, a little bit short of Gonzaga and Duke. I'll say this. Let's stir the pot the other way. You ready? He doesn't like when we do this. Your Aces writer tweets it out.
Because they announced it. They announced it.
Tweets it out. You go over the top on her.
Well, she was sitting.
You try to make her look bad.
Well, to be fair, if you really want to know, we were sitting next to each other, and I said, oh, by the way, they announced that incorrectly. Because they announced it incorrectly. Yeah. So they're actually – I actually was thinking about doing an entire story of how this all happened.
He's gonna do an entire story, and then he's sitting on the show acting like, "What are you talking about?"
That tweet last night had zero to do with the Aces thing. To be clear, it had nothing to do with it.
Just admit it, though.
But it had nothing to do with it.
Like what you were doing, just like admit what you were doing.
It didn't have anything to do with the Aces.
I love when he gets all incredulous, like,
because it didn't.
Never thought of that.
It didn't. I said, "How come no attendance was announced?" They said, "We're still trying to figure it out." I went to people at MGM and to people at USA Basketball and said, hey, does anybody have the attendance figure from tonight? Because it's supposed to go in my story, because we're supposed to have it in every story that we write for an event like that, and I can't find it. And my editors were like, why do we not have the attendance? And I said, well, let me go try to find out. So I tracked it down. When I found out, I said, I think that's the highest number for a basketball game. And they said, let's verify that. So they went through this whole process. It was a 45-minute process, by the way, to track this down. So if we're going behind the scenes. Finally, I called my editor. And I said, hey, I'm about to tweet out that this did set the record for basketball at T-Mobile. They said, that's great. Let's get a headline on that. So I mean, this is the whole thing that happened that had zero to do with the Aces game that happened from 2 weeks ago or whatever when they mistakenly announced it. And by the way, I think there were some people with MGM that were not happy with how the Aces did that. But yeah, this is how
I like that part of it. So this is some juicy little bit of
But you do know he left out the most important part of the story as he's kind of recreating the story. Why did he really do it?
Because my editors asked for the attendance figure in the story.
What's the ultimate motivation? Who was playing in the record-setting game against the Aces?
The what?
Caitlin Clark.
Yep.
In the what game?
And that's what it is.
Listen, we've talked off-air about traffic. You know, you got to mention Caitlin Clark in that story. I'm sure you did. I don't know if I didn't.
In what story?
The highest attended basketball game.
Of course I did not mention. She had nothing to do with it.
Okay. I bet you that story didn't traffic well.
It was fine. Much to your guys' disappointment, the tweet about the game last night had nothing to do with the Aces game. It had to do with the game last night setting the record.
What he's doing here. It's very clear.
We also, a deep dive into UFC and boxing attendance, because UFC people were mad, saying it wasn't the highest sporting event, because we had more, and I had to call them and say, no, you did not. You absolutely did not have more than they had last night. Boxing did respond. They did have one event with more people.
On the way back, I'm going to tell you, there is one person out there in the sports world who right now looks worse than Adam Hill.
ETHOS.com. Not available in all states. Rates do vary.
It's Cofield and Company on ESPN Las Vegas and ESPN Reno.
Arash is sitting in with us, nice enough to give us an hour of his time. CEO of the Sporting Tribune. Give me the final verdict on the Big 12 and what went down. And was it organized? Because that is a mega conference. And a lot of these schools were new schools. I didn't hear great things.
It's I think, a little bit too big. I mean, that was my first thought when they had it at Allegiant Stadium. It was on the field. So kind of cool to have it on the field. But just, I think, way too big of a venue for that. I think Circa is perfect. You can go from one ballroom to the next, one room to the next. Having it in a football stadium seemed rather large. But I thought it was fine. I don't know what complaints some people had. Listen, obviously there was a crowd around Colorado and Deion Sanders and his sons, but that was to be expected.
Did they close things out with free alcohol?
You know what? I did not see that. So, no. But the one conference that did – well, actually, the two. The Pac-12 had a – did you hear about this? The Cougs and Biebs.
I want to get to that. Okay. I want to get to that in a second, the mixer. Okay. But I was referencing Mountain West Conference is partnered with the Arizona Bowl and Snoop and Gin and Juice. And you made us feel really sad because they gave out some gin and juice.
Yeah, so I think I might have been the only one. There was a couple of other people. But before the guy left, he started pouring some of the gin and juice for some of the media.
For you.
For me in particular. Yes. And so I said, which is your favorite? He's like, you should try them all. I said, well, I agree with you. I should try them all. So I did like it.
Good.
Excited to see what they do with that bowl. I mean, how involved will Snoop be? You know, when Gronk had the Gronk Bowl in Los Angeles, he was very involved. You know, will Snoop do a halftime show? I don't know, but that would be amazing. So
that's good. Good branding.
I'm down.
Good branding.
Yeah.
Okay, so you started to lean into, and I would definitely want to ask about this, the mixer for the Pac-2 over at Bellagio, Washington State and Oregon State. What happened?
Came out of nowhere. I mean, in terms of it, you know, smartly scheduled again in between Big 12 and Mountain West, but it was a mixer. They had food and drink there. It was held in a ballroom at the Bellagio. Both of the coaches were there. Some of the players were there. Some of the alumni, TJ Husmanzada, Ryan Leaf, Steven Jackson. It was just more depressing than anything else, though. I mean, it was.
I was going to ask you that as a Pac-12 guy.
At least they had two teams. The Big 12 only had one.
Oh, that's true.
Really, it was kind of like, hey, you know,
it's
goodbye.
Like, what was the famous line? Like, we're not licking our wounds. We're licking our chops. And then the commissioner said, if there's anyone who deserves a drink after this year, it's the Pac-12. So there's an open bar in the back. They were serving Drew Bledsoe's wine, which is a very good wine. So.
Wow.
How long did the open bar last?
Pretty long.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah. So it was from 5 to 9 was the open bar.
Man.
It was a solid open bar.
Damn. Yeah. So we were busting Adam's chops, rightly so, and I said, there is someone right now in the world of sports who looks worse than Adam, and I don't mean appearance. I don't know what Jaylen Brown is doing. What is he doing? Derek White is added to the team. Jaylen Brown – it's involving a teammate.
Yes,
is complaining that he should have been the guy. This is not.
I mean,
the way
this
to
is more
it.
Of a phone call than like a subtweet or whatever he's doing. Like, I don't think he comes off particularly well. I would almost like when you don't get invited to a party, you basically pretend like you didn't want to go to the party. But yeah. This is not a good look for him to be like, you know, it's very clear what he's doing. It's much like the attendance tweet. I mean, you know what he means.
Nothing to do with it. Who actually looks maybe worse was not actually, but did you see Grant Hill try to joke about it?
Oh no! What did he?
I didn't know it was a joke. One of the most awkward things I've ever seen in my life, because they said Jaylen Brown said he's only on the team because he's not a Nike guy, and Grant Hill said, "Well, I wore Fila most of my career," and then the entire room was just like, "Okay." And
he goes, you know what's funny?
And then he goes, "Because that was a joke, you guys."
I only saw the quote. I only saw the quote, and I was like. Was he a feel?
Yeah.
I don't remember that.
Yeah, he goes. He followed it up. He goes, that was a joke, guys. And then he just starts answering the question.
Oh, no.
It was almost. No.
Yeah.
Is this thing on?
No one laughed.
Be here all week.
So Adam's been great about anytime Grant Hill's walking around UNLV, getting a picture of him with the, you know, the 1990 championship. So, again, that is a cool moment to see, but
us locals get it.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Us locals get it.
That's right.
Yeah. Did you get a chance?
By the way, just we talked about Obama being there and how cool that was. Like, there was a legend from like every Olympic team over the years.
That was cool.
And they brought them all on the court, which included Sean Marion, which was cool to see. Former rep Spencer Haywood is out there. Like, a ton of guys. So it was like, hey, from this team, Carmelo, Dwayne Wade. All these guys were out on the court at the same time. It was cool. And then the game was delayed because they all went and met with Obama on the court. And like, all right, we're playing here.
I know the way radio works, social media works. Every time Adam says Obama and cool, there's people who are like, I want to drive an old.
Oh, we got some tweets.
I want to cringe, right?
Well, my point is Obama's not cool, by the way. Just order.
But.
Oh, boy.
There is a reality. And we've been talking about this for a couple weeks. Percentage of the country that is going to root for the U.S. men's basketball team to win gold, it ain't 100 to 0.
It's not 100. I don't think it's as bad or in terms of as divided as the U.S. women's soccer team. That was on. That was really not.
Yeah, more cheering against them.
It was really bad. I don't think it's as bad as that, though.
I think it's as bad.
I think
LeBron toxic right now.
Yeah.
But I'll correct. This is what it is. It's a good enough team that people are going to cheer for them and want them to win. But if they don't.
Uh-oh.
Oh, then the, yeah.
If they don't.
Yeah.
Oh, boy. That's when it comes out of the woodwork.
100%.
Because what people don't want, there's a lot of people that refuse to cheer against them because they know they'll win. And they don't want to be like the jerk that's like, oh, I was cheering against. They're going to cheer for them, but they really do want them to lose.
It's a good
and they
point,
really
yeah.
want to be able to explode and be like, oh, this team's too worried about what this is. Like, shut up. It's one of the best teams. Hold on. Is the best team ever assembled. It's better than the 92 team. So just
no, it's
enjoy
a good
it.
Point because I was talking to someone about that. And if you go, you know, player by player, and it's like by name value, Dream Team was better because it's hard to compete against Michael Jordan and Magic Johnson and Bird and whatnot. What you got, though, is Bird basically retired.
Yeah, Magic Johnson
Magic coming out of retirement. Christian Laettner, which, you know, we all know shouldn't have been on the team, but they
– Cooper Flagg.
Know, there's basically like Cooper Flagg being on this team. No, but it you know, if you go player by player, I would say I would agree – that this team is far superior 1-12 where they are in terms of playing in the league right now.
It's awesome.
Yes, it's really.
Yesterday they made a lot of plays where it was like just off the fingertips, alley-oops that just weren't finished. Those are going to be finished when they're actually practicing together more.
Yeah.
But oh my God, their defense.
That's the biggest.
It
thing.
Is unreal.
If they play defense like that, I mean, it's not going to be close.
Yeah. That's Canada's the second best team. Yeah,
Canada.
I was
going to
say,
team.
Tell people who's on the Canadian team.
Shea's on it. He's incredible.
Jamal Murray.
Jamal Murray's on it.
Dylan Brooks.
Every guy is.
Kelly Olynyk.
Dylan Brooks was booed every time. Every time he touched the ball, he was booed, which is great. Also, Ken Burch, who you know, obviously UNLV fans would know, former Rebel, is on the team, but he's the end of the bench. Basically, he came in at the end of the game last night. The one detriment to that team is the Warriors. They're not allowed to not let him play, but basically told Andrew Wiggins not to play. The team would be even better if they had him, but it's a really good team.
It's interesting
all,
that
Lou Dort, like all NBA guys.
It's now kind of being reported that how involved the Clippers were in terms of like Kawhi should not be on the. But then, what I go back to is that should have been that decision should have been made before they got to Vegas, and so that's the part of this that I do not get. But the Clippers were not just a. You know, they were very, very involved in this decision for Kawhi not to play.
Rosh is with us, CEO of the Sporting Tribune at Sporting Trib up on Twitter. All right, I didn't finish the other part of the question about people rooting for USA men to win the gold, right? Or rooting against. Will there be more people rooting against the women's team? Than
I don't
the men's
think
team.
So. I mean, ooh. I think. Well, listen, I think if Caitlin.
No Reese, no Clark, the two most popular players, players in the world.
So they're not on the team, so you're not going to get that controversy or that. I mean, you're not going to get as much attention on the team, which, again, you would want.
That's a good point.
But I don't think anyone. I mean.
You don't think people will root against them to go, you see, you should have had them on it, and they should have played.
To Adam's point, like, this becomes a thing if they lose. There is 0% chance that the USA women will lose. They're going to win, and these games will not be close. So, like we're not going to have a scenario where they lose, and at that point, then it's like, well, if you had Caitlin Clark, you would have won for sure, which is, like, ridiculous.
Tell you this, you put Caitlin Clark on the team, you might lose.
No, see?
If she's on the court.
Oh, yeah, we were talking about his hot take, which is not that hot a take, but, like, yeah, I mean, in terms of the turnovers, in terms of her defense, I mean,
getting
she's
pushed around.
She's not the best player.
She's not close to one of the best players.
She should win the Rookie of the Year, I think.
No.
No. Are you insane? No, I think she should.
No.
Are you insane bringing up that argument on this show? We have so many Reesers on this. I really like Angel Reese for what she does for us. And I thought it was absurd. Like, I like Cameron Brink, and you can't judge her because she tore an ACL.
Yeah, exactly.
Reese should have been the second pick.
Yeah.
She's an instant impact player.
It was amazing that she dropped. When you said, like, who was the biggest name? It's like Caitlin Clark, but she was a close second. And so I was even amazed that in the mock drafts and then you get to the day of the draft, how far she dropped.
Questions about her offense.
By the way, Kim Mulkey?
It's been fine. Yeah,
Kim Mulkey?
Sure. Yeah.
Explain what I'm saying.
Oh, that she probably talked her down?
That's crazy. Yeah.
But also there was questions about her offense, and it has showed up at times. But she is probably the best defensive player in the league and is the leading rebounder in the league right now. Like, this, she's not performing well for a rookie like Caitlin Clark is. She's performing well for a player.
Caitlin Clark's not bad. I mean, like, hearing to you guys, like she's had this terrible season.
No, it's not me. I defend her, but we have, like, a three-minute shelf life on the show before everyone starts screaming at each other.
Okay.
She's a victim of expectations, too, right? People thought she's going to come in and score 30 a game. She's going to be very good, and she's going to be incredible in 2 years. She's not there yet.
Yeah.
Let her get there.
I would agree. I agree with that.
Half the audience believes that Adam Hill is a traitor to this country. Sure. This is not going to help your image. I saw your video last night, and I love that song. And I'm not going to say what I do for the anthems because I'm not going to put myself in the crosshairs, but that was shocking.
He got so emotional, and he was singing along.
The Canadian national anthem is playing, and Adam stands up.
I don't remember. I have to go back to the video if, like, a tear rolled down his cheek, you know, but just the pride that he had in Canada.
It's an objectively better song.
They're playing Canada! You are rooting against Team USA.
I don't think the songs have anything to do with the game.
Yes, they do. It is a signal.
First of all, I have been clear, and I agree, Canada, too, should not be playing national anthems before games, America or Canada or any country. But the Canadian anthem is an objectively better song. If you disagree with that, you're just an idiot.
It's a good song.
You have no idea what you're talking about. It's a better song. You could say America represents – I'm not saying what it represents. Just the song, it's a better song. And music – by the way, music – people that study music, experts, will tell you the American anthem is awful. It's a terribly written song.
All right, I wanted to have some space there for a video.
That's amazing.
The Canadian anthem is
better. We're going to have to book a music expert. I always love when he does it. According to this world.
This note, you know.
Yeah.
Everyone knows the music world.
Because I know nothing about music. I've read what they have to say about it. It's a bad song.
Wow. Amazing.
That's what it's like every day, Rush. You come in, have a good time for a couple minutes, you get the hell out. This is what I go through every day, and the audience goes through every day. Thank you, Rush.
Thank you for having me.